Well, glad to come back tonight, amen, and I want to say I appreciate y'all letting us come, and appreciate the meal this afternoon, amen?
Yeah, amen.
That's really good food. I always remember where there's good food at, amen? And, that's that scriptural, though. I think Elisha, or Elijah, actually, you know, every time you pass by that one place, Elijah, the Bible says that woman said, you know, I foresee this man of God, you know, let's build him a chamber here, and let's feed him, amen? Bible says every time Elijah went by that thing, he stopped there because he knew where it was. Amen. He said, man, I guarantee he stopped there because there was food. Amen. There's some place you just pass by. Amen. They said, brother, we'll have you in. I said, well, you know, it wasn't that good last time I was there. So let's move on down the road, man. I believe the Lord has us go somewhere else this Sunday. Amen. There's some places, man. And I know there's certain, not only certain places, but also there's certain people that know how to cook. Amen. I thank God for all the preachers' wives that I know that, man, cook a good meal. Man, my wife, I tell you what, and I was telling her, brother last night, I said, man, I never really like biscuits. Now I realize saying that over here, you're looking at me, what? I'm saying or something, you know. But I grew up in the reservation, man, we didn't have biscuits. We had fried bread. We had Navajo tortillas, amen, that's what we had. And we grew up, there was always tortillas or fried bread at the table. And everything I ate, man, I put in the bread and ate. I mean, I just got used to doing that. My wife kind of laughs at me about that now. And to me, a biscuit came from McDonald's. Just hard and crusty. And when you bite into it, your mouth dries out. And I'm just like, why would anybody want this for a sandwich? You got tortilla, fried bread you could make, man, and you eat this? I thought, man, this. I met my wife, man. My wife, and then she said, I'm going to make you some biscuits. She took out that cast iron frying pan, man, put that lard in there, lathered it up, and that dough. And I think, yeah, I said, man, what in the world is this? Amen. She said, it's biscuits. And then she made gravy. And I said, my goodness, what in the world is this? Amen. So that was great. And I thank God for that. And I praise the Lord that she's able to cook like that. Amen. It's been a blessing. Got your Bible. I believe this is where we'll go tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 4, I think is where we'll go tonight. So, and I was preaching this morning, teaching this morning, and got talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and felt a little bit of God on that this morning. So I said, well, let's go back there again, along that subject, along that lines, and preach on that tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 4, some great truth here in this passage here that is a blessing. And I want to be a blessing to you all here. 2 Kings chapter number 4, we'll read from verse 1 on down to verse number 7. The Bible says here, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I believe we need to turn to the New Testament here real quick, and then we'll pray. Look at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter number 14. We'll read these verses here, then we'll pray. I believe it'll be a help, give you some understanding here. A lot of preachers do not preach out of the Old Testament because they always say, well, all the Christian life is in the New Testament. Well, if you do think that way, then you're going to miss a lot of stuff and a good practical application there. The Bible says what was written aforetime was written for our learning. Amen. It was for in samples unto us. Amen. So there's some stuff there to learn. And hopefully with God's help, I'll be able to draw some of us together. John chapter 14, the Lord is here the night before the crucifixion there, night of the crucifixion, Passover. The Lord begins speaking to them. That chapter 13 there, and then chapter 14 tells them there in that first verse, without your heart be troubled. and begins to tell him about he's going away. And if you skip down here, let's look at down here, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Now notice that. He said, may you believe on me, he said, you can be able to do some greater works than I do. And then notice the reason, because I go unto my Father. Now stop there. I mean, he said this. He said, you can be able to do some great things. And they said, why? Because he said, I'm going to my Father. Now, in a way, you're thinking, if you're a disciple, you're like, what do you mean? The greatest thing we see is you doing it, Lord. Why? You're saying that we're going to be able to do something. And now, why are you saying when you're going away that you're going to do it? I'm sure they were a lot of puzzled, because you read later, they were trying to figure that out there. Verse 25, look at here, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So I'm with you here on the earth. I'm telling you these things. But notice verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now skip down here to chapter 16. And the Bible says in there, verse number 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me. So he's still telling me, he's going away. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. No doubt. Man, if I was with the Lord, if I was the Lord then disciples, I was like, you're going away?
Yeah.
Why? What? It's bothering them right now. And he's telling them, I have to go away. And you're going to do some greater works when I do go away. Now look down here, Bible says there, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. Expedient being resourceful, beneficial to you. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now notice that there, look down here, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit in this passage, the Lord is telling them, and the doctrinal idea reference there is the Lord Jesus is here on earth. But when I go away, the Spirit of God will come and begin to work and deal with people. And the dispensational teaching, a lot of the Old Testament, was God the Father dealing with the nation of Israel. God the Father, God the Father. During the Gospels, it was Jesus, God the Son dealing with people here on earth. When He ascended up, what was now? Now we live during the time of what we call the time of the Holy Spirit of God working. The Holy Ghost, man, is working in the church, the body of believers, people that are saved, working in them, through them. So you see the dispensational work of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, now the Spirit of God working in the church, through the church, to accomplish God's will. And all that here, just said that to lead you up to our message tonight here on this thought here. And basically this, you need the old. You need the old. Now, I don't know if you understand that, but the message, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing here. Lord, I pray, Lord God, thanking You, Lord God, for this opportunity. I believe it's what You've laid on my heart, what You want. And Lord, oh Holy Spirit, I pray for Your help to be able to preach. And then, Lord, it wouldn't make no sense to preach about You. And if You didn't show up and You didn't stir around here, Lord, God, I pray You'd make Yourself real. And God, I pray, God, that You would just manifest Yourself in a good way, Lord God. And all those that, Lord, have a desire to draw closer to You, Lord, to You, to meet with them tonight, Lord. Meet with all of us tonight. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus against any unclean spirit, Lord God. The Bible said, believe not every spirit, try the spirits. And so God, I pray You rebuke any unclean spirit, run them off, Lord God. Don't let them get to counterfeit anything You're doing. Rebuke them, Lord God. And I pray that, Lord, we'd be able to receive from Your Word and from Your Holy Spirit now. Help us now, Lord. I love You. I thank You, Lord God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You're holding your place there, 2 Kings 4. I feel like I gotta go another place here. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll get to the preaching. We're just trying to lay some doctrinal stuff for you. I've heard your preacher preach. That's how he does it. Amen. He always kind of lays out your doctrine for you just so you make sure you're on the same page.
Amen.
Amen. In case there's any charismatic Pentecostal type right here, we'll try to help you out here. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1 here. A lot to mention here. Talking about the Spirit of God here. Let's kind of pick up here in verse number... Look at down here, verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now notice that Bible says, verse 13 says, when you heard the word of truth, you trusted that word, the gospel of your salvation. After you believed, the Bible says, what happened? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That day you got saved, the Spirit of God come and indwell you. Bible says He sealed you. Amen. Bible says He sealed you. I mean, just completely sealed you up. Came inside you to live inside of you. You say, how long does that last? Well, look here at chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Bible says there, look it down here, verse number, Bible says verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Redemption. Man, just comparing verses with verses, and we're not going to go to the rest of the places, but you look at the rest of the verses, the day of redemption, man, the day of the redemption of this body. The day that Jesus Christ comes again to this earth, amen? When He comes and calls His bride out of the, man, out of this world, man, at the rapture and takes us up out of here, amen? That, we're looking forward to that day. The Bible says the day you got saved, the day you heard the gospel, the day you trusted and believed in the gospel of your salvation, that same day when you said, I'm trusting the Lord as my Savior, that day the Bible says the Spirit of God came in you, indwelled you, and sealed you. And the Bible says not only sealed you, but the Bible says sealed you until the day of redemption. He, God's Spirit come inside of you. The Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You say, well, preacher, how do I know I'm saved? The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. I mean, His Spirit tells me you are saved. I come in to live inside of you. Amen. And I want to tell you here, man, the person, when he gets saved, now he has something supernatural. Or actually, someone supernatural living in him. You have the Spirit of God living in you if you're saved or not. If you ain't saved, Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Spirit of God don't live in you, then you ain't saved. Amen. But once you're saved, the Spirit of God comes in you to live in you. But not only that, He lives in you, but He can come upon you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Man, I mean, we're in it, and then it comes upon us, drinking upon it. Man, it's on us, both. But there's some folks today, doctrinally speaking, you're saved, and you know, well, I understand the Spirit of God lives in me. Now what? And that's where their life ends. They just know that God's Spirit lives in them. And that's as far as their Christian life goes. And then they just start going through Christian life. I've got to go to church. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray. I've got to tithe. I've got to witness to people. I've got to be involved in missions. And I've got to help people out. And I've got to be giving. I've got to do all these things. And man, I just got to train myself. And man, I've got to get this flesh in order. And man, I've got to get this flesh working. And they really try to do all that in the power of the flesh. And then they realize, oh man, why did I sin? Why did I mess up here? Why did I do that? You read the rest of Ephesians and Galatians, the Bible talks about how that when you're in the flesh, but they are in the flesh, cannot please God. The Bible says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. These two are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do things you would. The Bible says, man, there's a part of you, your old nature, that wants to sin, that's prone to sin and does sin. But there's that new nature, the inner man. He wants to live for God, serve God, and do something for God. You say, well, what is that? Man, you've got that internal struggle, that internal conflict always going on. You say, what do I do about that? You need the old.
Yeah, amen.
Say, preacher, do I have it? Yeah. What do you do with the old? Well, I didn't realize I was supposed to. Exactly. That's why a lot of Christians are that way. That's why a lot of Christians are dead, dried up, unfruitful, unproductive for God.
Amen.
Do you realize that the Christian life is not just supposed to be boring?
Amen.
Christian life is not to be, it's not supposed to be miserable.
No, sir.
Amen? It's not supposed to be comfortable, but you shouldn't be miserable all the time. If some of you are just miserable all the time, like, oh, Christian life just, something ain't right. Preacher, I have a hard time being a Christian. Well, one of two things. Either you're not saved, or you're saved and you're not living by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will help your infirmities. Preacher, I'm weak in this area. Yes, I know. That's why the Spirit of God helps your infirmities. All the areas you're weak, He's able to strengthen. Well, I'm too simple-minded. Well, He can help bring things to remembrance. Oh, preacher, I'm shy. Bible says He'll give you what to say. Oh, preacher, I just don't know. Bible says He's called the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge. Preacher, I just don't think I have the ability. Bible says every man's given the Spirit, man, of the gift of God. He divided them severally as He will. He gives you an ability to do something for God, to benefit the body of Christ, to be a blessing to others. That's the Spirit of God gives you those things. But many Christians today, they're like our text, 2 Kings chapter 4. They're living with the oil in the house.
Yeah.
And they're crying out for help.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize the solution's in the house.
That's it. Already there.
It's already there.
Amen. Well, that's good.
You just got no idea what you're supposed to do.
That's good.
Amen. Christian life is always struggling for me. Like I said, you're either not saved or you're just not letting God work in you. And how God works in you in this day and time is the Spirit of God indwelling you, working through you. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's not supposed to be lived on your own.
No, sir.
Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, you're not going to make it. Preacher, I'm really putting all my effort into it. I'm glad, but you know what? Your effort's only going to take you so far. It's going to get you to a point and say, I can't go any further. I quit. I give up. I don't want to do this no more. And that's where a lot of people end up right there. There got to be points in your life where you've got, man, yield and you give up and you say, I can't trust my mind no more. I can't trust my riches no more. I can't trust my abilities no more. I can't trust any of these things no more. I got to trust God. God, will you take over?
Yeah.
And you let God win and take over. You know what you're going to find out? For I do you to wit, brethren, the grace bestowed upon the church of Macedonia, how that to their power, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Bible says, how that great trial of affliction and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. He said, how did that happen? Because something took them beyond their power. You know who it was? It was the Spirit of God indwelling that church. They yielded to God, and the Spirit of God took them beyond. It helped them find the abundance of joy in their poverty. How to detrial their affliction, man. They just begin to rejoice and they gave of their liberality through, in spite of their poverty. They gave in spite of their poverty. They rejoiced in spite of their hurting. Man, they served God in spite of all that. Why? Because something, when they said, we can't do no more, something took them beyond that. Not just something, someone. The Spirit of God. And a lot of folks today, they live a powerless, weak, dry, dead Christian life. Defeated. How many victories have you had? You know, we as men, we like to brag amongst each other. Especially come fall, spring turkey season. Man, April, the end of April. I'm looking forward to that turkey hunting. Amen. Get out there, my little scrap. Oh, I want to hear one calling. Man, doesn't it feel a rush when you hear one answer back? You're doing that little scrap. And all of a sudden, one, don't move. Man, you just get that thing. I mean, that rush. Man, then you see this thing come out strutting. Big beard.
Yeah.
Man, you see the tall and you think, oh,
goodness. You just hold it and just, you let them strut her along like, yes, show off so I can shoot you. It's like when, man, you get out there in the rut, man, when the bucks are out there, they're doing their thing. Like, yeah, show off, strut. We shoot those things and then we kill them and then we what? We take their beard, we take their horns and we hang them up. We put them up on the wall. Let me tell you about this one. And we start telling each other all about how we shot and killed all of them. You know what those are? Victories.
That's right.
Christian life should have some of those kind of things.
That's right.
Let me tell you about this, how God helped me with this sin.
Amen.
Let me tell you about how God helped me get this prayer answered.
Right.
Let me tell you about how this helped me right here.
That's it.
But most Christians are defeated.
That's good.
You know why? They forget about the old.
Yes, sir.
It's not always the smartest.
You're right, brother.
Can I get a witness there? Come on now. Amen. I mean, most of us right there, we should praise God. Amen. It ain't the smartest. Because if it was, I wouldn't get in. It ain't always the smartest, the wisest. It ain't the most. Bible says, how not the many mighty.
That's right.
Not many noble.
Yep.
Amen. I mean, not many men out there. Man, it's not them kind. Man, who is it? Man, it's those men that yield themselves to God. That God, do something with my life. May your spirit fill me and dwell me so I can do something for you.
Yeah, amen.
That's why when you lie down, you look, you ever notice that? Now, I'm not telling you to do this there, but I've been in this long enough. Certain missionaries come in and I look at them and I'm thinking, I wonder how long they're going to last. And you're just kind of like, why? You get around them because they got everything perfect. But a lot of times when they ain't got God's Spirit on them, you think. But after a while, the only thing going to keep you there, man, is the call of God and God's Spirit indwelling. That's it. Amen. You get God in you, on you, man, I tell you what, you can accomplish a lot. But if you're going over there because you got lots of money, money runs out. Oh, he's got great personality. Well, what happens when the other country don't like personality? American, That's why I always try to judge him on personality. Oh, look, this guy's got a great personality. We should support him. He may get to a foreign country. He'd be an American. They don't like Americans.
Yeah.
Personality don't matter there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, he's just real likable. They probably don't like Americans where he's going.
Yeah.
You shouldn't support them based on that.
Amen.
Oh, they just seem like a good couple. No, I mean, that's not why you're supporting them. But because they got God on them. God called them there. And here, this passage here, this woman had struggles. Her struggles included, man, the loss of her husband. Her husband's gone. Supported his family, took care of them. Not only that, but then debt began to overwhelm this woman. Man, I mean, she had some debts that her husband had left. And man, it began to pile up. And I'm sure just a woman like any other woman tried the best she could. Probably took on a couple jobs. Probably started selling everything in the house. I mean, cut things, corner everywhere. Cut things off. Turn this off. Man, we don't need Netflix now. Amen. We don't need Netflix, we don't need cable, we don't need Wi-Fi, we don't need this, we don't need cell, everybody don't need a cell phone in the house. And start getting rid of all that, selling everything they could. You know? And you know how it is. Women, men different about their possessions. Men, we say this, I got stuff, she got junk. Amen? Help me out here. You men now, help me out now. You realize that everything I got is useful, it's valuable. It's a tool. It can be used down the road. The yard is full of junk, man. I don't know for how long. I mean, we've saved every board, piece of metal, everything we can find. Why? Because one day I'm going to build something with that. So I need it when I didn't have that. That's why I got down the yard. And the wife's looking at me, why? My yard just tore up. Babe, that's for when we need it down the road. They might have another project at the church. Where I'm going to have donate all that right there. But she's got all her junk. Can't sit anywhere in the living room. Man, the living room's like a Cracker Barrel foyer. I mean, everything's in there. Look at this. Look at that. Look at them. Like, yeah, okay. And this is the Christmas collection. This is the fall collection. This is the Leland. This is the gnomes, and this is the, you know, the China dolls, and, you know, and this is the Russian nesting dolls. And then you're like, good night, man. What is all that? And this is the tea set, and this is the stuff my mamma gave. And you're like, okay, where do I sit? And do you ever notice that husband and wives do? That there's stuff that they have that they did. If I had my way, I would get rid of that. You men, come on now. Help me out here, man. I just participate. Help me preach right now. Amen. You men. There's stuff you know that, man, if you just could, you would get rid of in a heartbeat. She has stuff there. You're like, oh, man, I can't stand it. It's an eyesore. See, that's why every man needs a man cave. He needs some area where a woman don't touch anything in here. Mine, I do what I want, when I want, how I want, and if I want to leave a mess, it's mine. Decorate everything in the house, but leave this area alone. Amen. Then women, the same way. She looks at everything he's got and like, we could just sell all that. You know, when a husband and wife, when they bust up, it's usually good to go to their yard sale. Man, here you are with a man with a real tool set, you know, Snap-on socket set. How much you want for that? She's like, oh, I don't know, $10? Yeah, I'll take that, $10. I see you got a Matthews bow there, you know, I'll give you $20 for it. Yeah, go ahead. She hates everything about it. You can take it all. Why? Because she's sick of it. Amen. I can see this woman trying to struggle, pain. She got boys there. She's trying to feed these boys, trying to take care of them. She got all these things going on. But there's that one thing laying over there in the corner. It's the oil. But that time she goes over there and get rid of it. And the words of her husband come back. Whatever you do, don't get rid of that. If something should ever happen to me, you go see Elisha. He'll tell you what to do.
Amen.
Just don't get rid of that. I know you don't like it. I know you don't understand, maybe, but just... She's like, oh, I just can't stand that. I could see her getting rid of everything, selling everything. And here she is, still fresh in her heart. Husband's gone. She comes and look at it. Whew. All the time she was mad at him for having it in the house. Now she's thinking, gosh, I wish I could take all that back. That was his. That's what he told me not to get rid of.
Amen.
She can't help it because it reminds her of him.
Amen.
She said, well, boys, it's come to this. The whole. Goes to the man of God. Man of God, we need help. We need help. We need help getting things taken care of. We don't know how to do it. Man of God says, hey, y'all got that oil filled house? She's like, yeah. Been wanting to get rid of it, but she said, now too, it's just, I just every time I look at it, I think of him. That was his. What do I do now? He said, what you go do, and he gives her all the instruction what you do.
Amen.
At the end of that verse there, verse 7, it says this. He said, go sell all the oil, pay thy debt. Notice this part. Live thou and thy children of the rest. He said, now you can live with the oil now.
Amen.
You know what changed? Her whole attitude.
Yes, sir.
Now there's value on this.
Amen.
Whereas, like all wives and husbands, it was something that she wanted to get rid of. Now it's something totally different. You know, there's a show I watch every now and then. It's called Antique Roadshow. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good show, man. I mean, they had Navajo rugs on there one time, I remember. The guy brings it up, and sometimes they'll bring up something there. Man, they'll just bring it up, and whoever made these, don't get mad now, because I don't like people touching my display at church. That guy will come over, that person that owns it will be standing there, the guy will come up and he'll say, let's see.
Mm-hmm. You see this here? Yeah. That's a good thing. My. Man, look at that. I thought that was a flaw. But that's not. Look at it. That's where the guy who made this repaired it.
Yeah, right.
He begins to talk about it, and that lady, the lady or the man who owned this Constantinople. What? What? Yes, this was a vase. Dallas country folk and red, born red, is a vase, man. This is a jar. But to the expert, it's a vase. He said, it's got a different name. It's a vase. And this was made during the Ming Dynasty. China. Imperialism. He commissioned this during his fourth reign, to his fourth wife. And he had this commission. And this is real. Real old. Matter of fact, I haven't seen any of this up close now. On a book only. I didn't think there was none. But I realized there's a crack. It's broken. But also, I see how that they repaired it themselves. The man who made it repaired it. So now that you almost can't even see the crack. It's as if it was never there. All the blemishes, you can't tell because it's been glossed over. Do you realize here you have in front of you one of the last remaining artifacts of the Ming Dynasty? Value? Well, we did not really price you could put on this. But if we had to, it'd be upwards of $5 million. And the person was like, $5 million? My mom picked that up over there when she went to visit China. She bought it at a flea market. What do you mean $5 million? It's been sitting in the attic. We was going to throw it away. He said, no, you don't throw that away. And he said, that's priceless now. That lady who wants this thought of it as junk, don't you know her attitude for change towards that? Don't you know this lady in this passage? It's just old, just his. I just want to get rid of it. Now every day, the Bible says she's living off of it. Whole different attitude now. With that oil, you know what happened? Man, she was able to endure her sorrow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
The sorrow of her husband being gone. Mm-hmm. Those of you that's ever lost a spouse, you understand that?
Amen.
Someone you've lived with for so long that you actually become like each other. Mm-hmm. Finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, right.
Woo. My wife told me a story about somebody she knew at work there. Said they lived together so long, when he passed away, she got up in the morning and made him his coffee, brought it to the table, and then she dawned on her, he's not coming to drink it. Woo! Mm-hmm. Sorrow had overtaken her. But now, because of the oil, she's able to endure the sorrow. Does that mean her heartbreak went away? No, it meant when her heart was broken, and every day it does break after that. Man, that oil is put on there, the oil of gladness, and it's like a salve, and man, it begins to bind up those wounds, and man, make things feel a lot more endurable. With the oil, she's able to endure her sorrows. With the oil, she's able to meet the enemies and overcome the enemy. The creditor comes, threatened to take away her sons. Now she can stand against the creditor, stand against the enemy, not only meet them, but overcome them.
Amen.
The same way you and I, all the sin and the devil and the world that fights against us and that oppresses us as Christians, we can stand against it. Man, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Man, we can stand against and overcome them and get some victory.
Amen.
Why? Because of the oil. Man, they begin to live every day after that because of the oil. Life is different now. Why? Because of the oil.
Amen.
Ma'am, every time she looks at the oil, she thinks of him now in a good way.
Every time, man, with the Spirit of God, I mean, there's a part of me that can't feel at home here anymore. There's a part of me that longs for some other place beyond, man, the solar system. There's a part of me that says, man, there's somewhere up there that I'm going to, and I'm going to see Him one day. And one day, man, I'm going to fall at His feet. I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to tell Him, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. Why? Because of the oil. He told His disciples, He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, I've got to go away because if I don't, the Holy Spirit is not going to come. But when I do, He'll come. He'll give you comfort. He'll bring things to your remembrance. He'll show you things to come. You're sealed. You need the oil. If you're saved tonight, you got the oil. But for some of you, it's just a pot in the corner. And you fighting along with the Christian life and struggling, and every day is just a constant battle of just dealing, trying to do daily duties. And like, why is this so hard? Like I said, Christian life is only hard for two reasons. Either you're not saved, or you are saved and you ain't never tapped into the old. Well, I thought it was charismatic. I thought it was Pentecost. Just because they pervert the doctrine don't mean, man, you need to ignore it. It's how God the Father worked in the Old Testament, the Son worked there in the Gospels. Now we're living time when the Spirit of God working in people. That's how God did with people now. Her attitude had to change toward all that. He was overlooked. Now He's, man, living off of Him. So let me ask you this here, man. What's your attitude toward the oil? You know what you got to do? You got to quit ignoring Him for one thing.
Amen.
The Spirit of God, Bible says the Spirit says come, bride says come. Spirit of God, man, you can't ignore Him.
That's right.
When He speaks to you and deals with you.
That's right.
Well, I hear God talking all the time. No, I didn't say that. Now don't go off here tonight and start saying, oh God, tell me all these things. He ain't going to tell you all them things. How many did He tell you all these weird things? I remember when I was pastoring, they said, these young men would come, God, tell me to do this. I was looking at them and said, nope. Well, how do you know? It's not God telling you. I said, you know why? Did you ever consider there's a church over there? Before you moved? Well, I was hoping you'd look up somebody for me. Really? Is that kind of an afterthought?
Yeah, right.
That's how I know God ain't in it. Why? Because the church is an afterthought. The Spirit will lead you into truth, not away from the truth.
Exactly right.
Amen. God's leading me to start another church over here. No, you're just sorry. You don't want to get under God's man.
Amen.
God's leading me over. No, He ain't. Amen. You just need to get yourself right with God. Oh, I was chasing a rabbit there. I just felt like it. Amen. How do you get... the aware of the oil. Well, you got to have, first of all, your attitude and awareness got to wake up to the oil. Are you even aware that the Spirit of God lives in you?
Amen.
Genesis 1, verse 2, Bible says, or verse 1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Verse 2 says, man, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Do you know that same Spirit of God lives in you?
Amen.
Let that sink in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before you just think, oh, it's no, it is a big deal. I know you may have heard the illustration before. That little kid, man, he come up, he's holding his Bible there. He walks up to the preacher, pulls the preacher, he said, hey preacher. He said, I got a question. He said, yeah, what is it, young man? He said, how tall is Jesus? And the preacher said, well, you know, he was like me, about 6 foot tall. Young man said. And he started smiling. He said, why do you ask that? He said, because right here, what I read in the Bible says, Jesus living in me. He said, if I'm 4 foot tall and Jesus living in me, that means He's sticking out everywhere. Do you realize the Spirit of God living in you, someone as big as God living in you, should be sticking out everywhere? But you know what? Some of you just got them in your little pot over in a corner somewhere and just said, oh, that's charismatic stuff. That's that Pentecostal stuff. Just leave that alone.
Go ahead, bro.
We ain't going to worry about that. And here you are, just struggling, fighting every day, and you wonder why the spirits and unclean things fighting you overcome you.
Yeah.
You need the old.
Amen.
Your attitude needs to change by the old.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not only that, but you know what's even your attitude there? You need to yield to the Spirit of God. That's where you give in and, all right, God, you have your way here. Let your Spirit lead me in this thing.
Amen.
When you go to ask God for wisdom, the Bible says the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You need to let God direct you and lead you.
Yeah,
now, see, that requires some planning, some preparation. I mean, if you got to make a decision within the next 5 minutes, and yes, God can give you the answer, but if you knew about it for a while and then you're trying to make that decision at the last minute, it can be hard for God to get in that. Because you'll be thinking, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I mean, you knew for 2 weeks. Why don't you start 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And let God, the Spirit of God, begin to deal with you about things. Let Him show you. That's why I tell people, I said, let's pray and ask God's Spirit to show you through the Bible and show you in a way that you know it's God dealing with you.
Amen.
Not other people and not being persuaded. God knows how to persuade you. Let Him persuade you.
Amen.
That you walk away knowing without a shadow of a doubt, if God tell me to do that.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times our mind's already made up, and it's kind of like we're dragging God behind.
Right.
Come here, young man. Let me use you for illustration.
Exactly.
This is how it works here. Lord, I've made up my mind, Lord God. Come on, catch up, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, come bless this, what I'm doing right here, Lord. Come on, man. Y'all pray for me. I got this decision to make. Now, Lord, come on, help me with this decision, Lord. Go ahead, sit down. I appreciate it.
Yeah, amen.
Your mind, your decisions, everything's already made up, and you're dragging God behind. You got your little pot of oil running around. God, hurry up. Come on, make something up. Come on. Keep up with my schedule. Lord, don't you know I got time here? Time's wasting. Lord, don't you know that my bill's due? Lord God, don't you know that this has to work this way? Don't you know we're on a time limit? Lord, don't you know that, man, Biden's president now? Lord, don't you know? See, God really don't care about your watch. He really don't care about your calendar. You try to make Him care about it. You try to make Him care about your crisis a lot of times. It's your little drama. You got stirred up. Fix it, Lord. Fix it. Fix it now. Lord says, hey, man, had you listened a while back, we could have avoided all this. But here, let's see what we can do. You got to yield to Him. Yielding is you have your way. Sometimes we give up and discuss. Go ahead, man. Or it's, you ever do that with your husband and wives? Now, I know none of you do this, but you get driving and she's like, why don't you get a GPS? Why don't you look it up? You're like, I know the way. Leave me alone. We're going there, getting there.
Yeah.
What are you doing this? And I mean, you pause and find like, here, do you want to drive?
Yeah. Right.
She's like, yeah, I will. Then he says, all right, get a car. Let's drive. You drive then. Then you get there and then you go on down the road and whatnot. That was yielding, but how was that? That was like a disgust and just don't want to fight no more here. But what about this? Here's the keys, you know. Won't you go ahead, I guess. That'd be a blessing. You know how a lot of times with the Lord is? We're fighting the whole time. Arguing back and forth. And man, just back and forth with the Lord. And then it's finally like, okay then, Lord, why don't you just show me then? See, there's no pride in being hard-headed and stiff-necked.
Yeah.
I'm real stubborn, man. My God, it's hard to change my heart. That's not something to brag about in front of God. Especially in the church house.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just stubborn. I'm just hard-hearted. That's just the way I am. I was raised that way. Ma. You want God to help you with that?
Yeah.
He got plenty of things to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
It's better when you just kind of like, here, Lord, you drive. I'm tired of running this thing into the ditch, missing the turn, not turn around, come back, ask for directions. Lord, why don't you just go ahead and drive?
Amen.
Amen. That's better. That's better than let the Lord have it. Yield to Him. In the morning, the best thing to do, Lord, why don't you have your way today?
Amen.
I'll try to follow, Lord.
Amen.
And if I get out of hand, I'll get it right, but I'm going to follow You. Lord, I'm going to start by opening this Bible and read a little bit and pray a little bit, God, and You just direct me.
Amen.
Now, it may not always be what you're looking for in some things, but man, you'll learn the more you yield to God, let God lead, the more you will discern. The Bible says, believe not every spirit. Try the spirit. See where they're God. One, the first thing, the Spirit of God is not going to lead you contrary to this Bible. So you got to spend some time in that Bible. That way you'll know whether it's the Spirit of God or something else. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you contrary to the Bible. He's not going to lead you into sin.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you away from church. It's not going to lead you into some trouble. Oh, preacher, I think that God's leading me into... No, no, He ain't. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I believe it's the Spirit, but it ain't God's Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
You learn the difference when you yield to God's Spirit. When you're honest and sincerity, your own integrity, Lord, I'm trying to follow You as best I can.
Amen.
God, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want the devil trying to lead me. I don't want to try some unclean spirit to deceive me. Because, Lord, that's totally possible. God, I want to follow You.
Amen.
And Lord God, if it's an unclean spirit, Lord God, show it to me. Then I just don't want to follow it. I want to follow You.
Yeah, amen.
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 You got to yield. Give in. God, when we go to church tonight, You speak to my heart. Tell me what I need to hear, not what I think I should hear. Lord, I got all these things of how I need to fix my life, but Lord, really, You tell me what I need to fix. Lord, let the preacher preach on what I need to hear.
Amen.
Let him nail me between the head. Let it hurt my heart. But Lord God, let me know it's You.
Amen.
This preacher don't know who I am, Lord. So every time he's preaching, I'm going to take it as being from You. So Lord, go ahead.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God work on you. Yield.
Amen.
Not only yield, but you know what else? You got to get around people that know the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know who knew in this passage? Elisha. He knew what to do with the oil.
Yeah.
You want to get around people that know God.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
That person, he believed know God.
Mm-hmm.
This morning we were talking about prayer. You know, when we want someone to pray for us, we want someone who's hooked up with God.
Yeah.
When you got a situation come to your life and you need someone to pray with you, now just don't say the answer out loud in your own mind right here. When you got a situation come up in your mind, in your life, in your family, and you need prayer right away, who's the first person you would call in this congregation? Who comes to your mind like, I need to get a hold of so-and-so because I know they'll pray and they'll help me through this thing. God will hear them. I know that. That means you believe that person's got a walk with God and they know God. God knows them. And when they pray, God answers and you believe they're walking with the Lord. They got a touch of God in their life. That's the kind of people you need to get around.
Yeah, amen.
Who comes to your mind?
Good,
now let me ask you this. Did anybody think of you?
Yeah, good,
or were you like not even on the list?
Good,
now don't tell me you thought of yourself.
Yeah.
Let me write down. That's where you're at. Oh, I think they would come to me. No, 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 no. You're probably the last one on our list tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, bro.
Get around somebody who knows. Get around your Elisha, your man of God here.
Yeah, amen.
Man, let them, they know God. Amen, they'll help you. Show you how to do a dole. You know what you got to do? You got to empty your stuff. He said, but get some vessels there. He said, just empty vessels. You know who God fills? Those who get empty.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
You need to empty yourself.
Yes, sir.
So how often? Well, I think as often as you can.
Yes, sir.
For some of you, that's not real hard. Amen. Empty yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, man, the widow who gave two mites, man, she gave it all. But yeah, it wasn't hard because she only had two.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder when you got like thousands. Amen. When you got a bunch of stuff in your heart, it's just a little harder.
Amen.
You got to get empty.
Yep.
Get all that stuff out of your heart. And every time you realize there's something in there, get it out. Something there clogging it up, get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Sins of the Spirit tend to mess those up.
Yeah, right.
Lust.
Yeah.
That's a real one that clogs it up. Think of it this way, you know, me, man, I like going to Sonic. Sonic's one of my favorite. Happy hour, man. Go over there and get all sorts of drink. Amen? Vanilla root beer. Cherry vanilla Coke. Man, cherry limeade. Strawberry limeade. Oh, my goodness. Man, strawberry slush with Nerds. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, that's great. All half price, man. You get over there. You know what I don't like? I get that big 44s. You know, you all had cheer wine there. Thank God. Amen. I said, North Carolina is known for cheer wine. Amen. And I like my drink, and I get that big cup. Then I put my straw in and I start drinking on it. And usually, I caught 3 sips. You're like, what happened? Then you open the lid and the thing's all dried out. I'm like, man, this thing is full of ice. How in the world did they fill it with ice? And I only had like 12 ounces of drink. It says 44 on the side. They need a machine there to measure 44 to fall in there and then add the ice afterwards. Don't tell me you give me 44 and fill it up with ice. Give me 12. My foot, who drinks 12? Man, I mean, that's why they invented the 20-ounce bottles, man. Everybody got tired of the 6-pack 12. Amen. I mean, did you fill that thing up? But what was it? It's too much ice in there. You dump out some ice, you get more drink. Same cup. Your Christian life, you know what? Some of you, your life is frozen. Many are cold and few are frozen. I think that's what the Bible says in there somewhere. You know why? That ice in your heart. You need to get that out. It's making you cold on God and the things of God. Get those things out. And I said, like, the sins of the Spirit are bad ones. Lust. What else is there? Anger. Amen. Envy. Them sins of the Spirit, man, they get in there. They are real bad about clogging up the Spirit of God working your life. Those somehow, they're real bad ones. They get in there, man, and they mess it all up, and the Spirit of God can't work like He wants to.
Amen. Right.
He told us to go home, get empty. He said, get empty yourself, and get all you can out of you. You need to go somewhere, and you just get empty. Say, God, there's all this thing in my heart. Some of you not only get the bad stuff out, but you've got to get empty of all what you think you know.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I know better. No, you don't. You know, if we didn't need pastors and Bible teachers, God would not call them. It's just as plain and simple. I'm an evangelist. I travel. I've pastored. I know about Christian life, but I still have a pastor. Amen. I still have to answer to him. It wasn't 2 weeks ago, man. I stopped by his office and I said, hey, bro, Charlie, good morning. Hey, he's talking about there. And he said, pray for you this morning, he said. And he said, I pray for this morning preaching out. He said, oh, I got a message for you. He says, one you've heard already, but he said, oh, I got one for you this morning. You need it. And I thought, yes, sir. Man, that whole 45 or that 15 minutes there between 10:45 and 11, I was wondering, man, what has she got for me? Well, good night, man. Lord, I prayed this morning. I need something at church, Lord God. And Lord, if I need the correction, just show me. Oh, Lord, the preacher said I needed this. Man, I still sweating. I was thinking, grown man, here I am, worried about what the preacher's going to say. And I was thinking, oh, man, he's still putting the fear of God, man. But I'm glad for that. He's my preacher. Amen. If you didn't need him, why would God call him? I'm going to go out here and do my own thing. That's why you got a bunch of guys that do that. Go out there and do their own thing. Why? They don't think they need a pastor. Oh, you need a pastor. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I know what I'm doing. I'm just as called as they are. Probably not. We'll just help you out there. Ain't many going to follow. Follow because you're related to them. But other than that, they wouldn't follow you 5 feet if you weren't related to them. Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting off on that thing again. Come on now. Empty yourself. No, you got to empty yourself. What did he tell him? He said, shut the door.
Amen,
you know what shut the door was? You shut out everything.
Yeah,
you get this bed where you get out away from things. He said, pour out. That's where you pour out yourself. Set aside, he tells him. Set aside. You know what that is? Be sanctified for your use here, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to get in a place where you can use me.
Amen.
Shut the door. I'm going to shut the world out. I think that's where a lot of folks get in trouble there. They just can't shut the world out.
Yep.
You're just too caught up in it and excited. Last year, man, I'm so thankful and laughing that a lot of the sports, man, last year, the radio and that, it's great. Amen. You know, and really, I didn't even miss it.
Amen.
You know what's funny? My favorite teams when I was a younger man were the Dodgers and the Lakers. They both won last year, and I was like, who cares, man?
Amen.
When I used to really root, they would lose. Now I'm like, I don't care. And then they win. And I'm like, yeah, so what? Now I'm like, who cares? It's just kind of funny now.
Yeah.
Why? It's just not that important. Shout out the world.
Amen.
Man, pour out. It's where you pour yourself out.
Yeah.
That's where you and God just kind of get honest with each other and just you pour it out. Say, Lord, I'm pouring this out, but Lord, you putting back in me. I like how there was more than one vessel, more than one feeling. You need the old.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this. What do you think of the Spirit of God working in your life? How do you think of Him? Is He just a pot in the corner? Or is He someone you believe you need in your life to work?
Amen. Amen.
Do you know that He's working in your life? Now, don't come up to me and tell me how spiritual you are after this message. Oh, I listen to God all the time. Don't come. I'm not interested in that. Because invariably, there's someone going to come and just tell me how spiritual they are. And usually, they're not spiritual. But they want. If you have to tell somebody you are, you're probably not. You need to go around and let everybody know how God talks to you all day long. And I'm leery of that kind. There's a difference between being spiritual and spooky. Okay? There's a difference. I grew up on a reservation. Trust me, there's spooky and spiritual. But my, you know, dumb, how you boys? There is spook in there out there.
Amen.
It's not the same as being spiritual.
That's right.
The only other place I've seen that spooky, man, is in some churches, somebody coming to you, them wild eyes. Brother, God's talking to me. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on, bro. And a lot of times it's a lady, too. And you're like, whoa, man, hold on. Let me get my wife here. And, well, get babe, get some help over here. You remember that morning this morning? Was it silly women laden with sin, led away to divers' lust? I mean, somebody open yourself up to that stuff. The Bible says some of them are turned aside after Satan. And that's a scary thing. But what is he, man? Do you know what the Spirit of God works in your life there? I'll tell you, he works in his preaching. You can tell, man, when he's working preaching, people get a conviction. They want to do right, live for God. Amen. They want to be involved in things of God. They got a fruitful Christian life. Why? They're yielding to Him. So let me ask you tonight. What do you think of the old?
Amen.
With God's help, I've been trying to be that antique roadshow expert. I'm not one, but I'm trying to. What he does, he tells you what it is, tries to explain to you the value.
Amen.
The person there goes away thinking, wow, I didn't realize I needed it.
Amen.
I didn't realize I had it. Maybe tonight, best thing for you to go away and say, man, I didn't realize God lives in me like that. I didn't realize everything I do, God's there. I didn't realize that God would help me do whatever I needed to do. Maybe tonight, you just need to thank God for the oil in your life. And tell God, Lord God, I want to listen to you and your spirit a little more. I want to follow you, your spirit, through that Bible, through my preacher. God, I don't want to be a dead Christian. I want to be dried up. I want to see your spirit work through my life.
Amen.
Have an abundant life. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to get you to get spooky now.
Amen.
Get you to think about the Spirit of God in your life.
Amen.
You need the oil.
Yeah, amen.
You need the
oil.
Amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight, your head bowed. I really, by the invitation there, I'm going to ask you just to talk to God, man, about the Spirit of God in your life. Maybe tonight you just need to tell the Lord, thank you, the Spirit of God indwells you. And tell the Lord you're not going to grieve His Spirit. You're not going to, man, get to the Spirit of God and grieve Him. You're going to do what you can to let God work in your heart. Yield to Him more. Let Him have more of His way. Say, God, I want to follow you, Lord. I don't want to be deceived by unclean spirits, Lord. I want to follow your spirit, Lord. Because, man, truly known, we're going to need Him a whole lot more coming up in the days.